Glory, hallelujah. I love the sweet presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. Turn to somebody this morning and tell them that you're glad that they're here. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here, Ginger. You need me to do anything?
Need something to eat later.
You need something to eat later?
Yeah.
What you don't want?
I don't know. You'll be thinking about that. You'll be thinking about that. Amen. Yeah, I'll do that. Amen, amen. Well, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. It's good to be here. Hello, church family. I love you so much. Well, I can say it like I want because I got the microphone. Hello. It wouldn't be right if I didn't pronounce something, mispronounce something, or say something that was incorrect. And I'm so thankful my family loves me in spite of all that. Glorious. Amen. All right, so I came in here Friday after they had the summer feeding program. We had lots of things that were going on. I've had several wonderful sit-down luncheons this week with different ones, and I came in here Friday afternoon, and I just began to worship in this space, and I just began to cry out to God to begin a work, to continue to do what he has placed in us over 15,000 years ago, not 15,000 years ago, 15 years ago. God, it's been a long time since we started CCAEM. 15,000 years ago, when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth, we started CCAM. And I began to just cry out with my heart that he would give us wisdom in these days, because I really believe in my heart of hearts that we are watching revelations unfold before our eyes. Amen. Would anybody agree with me on that? Nobody knows the time. Nobody knows the place. And the Bible says that 1,000 years can be like one day to him. He's not an author but he's an on-time God. Amen. And so I believe with everything that we're seeing that we are really truly living in the days of revelation. And I'm sure there's been other generations before us that have felt that same way. And guess what? They are. Until he comes back, we are in the days of revelation. We are in the days of a returning king that is preparing the earth, that is preparing his body, that is preparing his bride to all of us to meet our bridegroom in those days. And so anyway, I want wisdom. You know, I want our pastors and our staff and our leadership to have wisdom in these days and to hear from the Holy Spirit. And so I was down here on Friday and I was just worshiping and I said, Lord, just begin to deposit into our church and into our people. Begin to deposit in us, Father, your voice, your word, your will, you know, your plan, your vision. Continue to pour it out to us. And as I was there, the Lord began to just speak to me, and he said, what I want you to do is that I want you to just begin to pour out seed. I want you to pour out seed. And I didn't really know exactly what that was going to look like. I kind of had a direction and a thought process of where I was going to go that I felt like the Lord was leaving me, because he kind of just derailed all that and began to lead me in a different direction. But I always want to go where the Holy Ghost leads. Amen. I don't want Ginger to lead. I want the Holy Ghost to lead. So we're going to talk about seed. We're going to talk about something that I like to call the harvest story. And as I was looking into the scriptures, I began to look into the parables of Jesus, and he began to talk about what the seed and the sower, right? The parable of the farmer, the parable of the seed, the parable of the sower. And it was interesting that I found that when you find, I think Paul has made this comment before, that when you see something within the Gospels, repeated in the Gospels, that it's very rare that you would find a repeated event in the Gospels. And as I started looking into it, the parable of the seed was in three of the four Gospels. You can find it in Matthew, you can find it in Mark, and you can find it in Luke, but you do not find it in the book of John. So I'm like texting Paul. He's upstairs, I'm downstairs, and I'm like texting him, you know, and I'm like, hey, what do you think? And he gave his opinion to, you know, of what he thinks, huh? He says it was awesome. Debatable, but yeah, no, it was good. But then when I begin to look further into it, there are no parables that are listed in the book of John. There's no specific parables that the book of John does. Now, Paul helped me figure out that in the book of John, he was writing it to the Gentiles. And his opinion and his train of thought was that they were farmers. The Gentiles were farmers. And that if he began to speak about seed and sowing, that he would look like he doesn't really know what he's talking about to people who are, that's their livelihood. I was like, but if he said it, and if they understood it, you know, wouldn't that make a powerful impact? Because I have a disclaimer this morning that I don't know a whole lot about a garden. Now, if you wanted to know a lot about gardening, I could turn the mic over to Mr. Kenny and Miss Allie. He's just shaking his head. He's like, you know, but we've got our community garden that's out there, and I don't have I am not a master gardener of any shape, form, or fashion, but I'm a very simple person, and I have found that the things in the kingdom of God are quite simple, that he does things in such a way that if you really open up your capacity to look at how it goes within the natural, within the spirit, within framework, within centuries, within repeated patterns, it's really not, doesn't take a theologist of biblical proportion to understand what the kingdom of God looks like and what the kingdom of God is. And so I'm going to read the harvest story, and I'm going to use the portion of it that's out of Matthew, the 13th chapter. I like what the Message calls it. The Message has a title, and it calls it the harvest story. And so I'm going to pour out seed this morning. So before we read the scriptures, you will notice that when I get the opportunity or when I'm ministering, I always ask you to put your hand on your heart to ask to prepare the ground. So let's do that this morning while we pray. If you put your hand on your heart, Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that you're preparing the ground. Father, I declare, Father, in each and every one of your sons and daughters this morning that this is good ground. Father, this is good soil. Father, that the word goes forth sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, that it lands with precision. Father, I thank you that it takes root in the hearts, Father, of your people this morning. And I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke the devourer. I rebuke those that would come and try to steal the word. Father, we declare right now that this is good ground. Everybody say with me, this is good ground. And it will produce a harvest in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I am enthusiastic about the word. I'm enthusiastic about how God can plant things into your life. And it's our responsibility to take what he's planting into it and to cultivate it. Amen? To protect it. To water it. Amen? To do the things that we need to do so that he can do what he needs to do. The word of God works, but you've got to work the word of God. Now, that's prophetic, and that is free, and you can write it down. The word of God works, but you got to work the word of God. Amen? So I'm going to go into the word here in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. You can follow along with me. It says starting in verse 3, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables." And we know parables were simple stories that he was able to present to, I feel like he's able to present to an ignorant group of people. and take really deep things, but put it in such a package that we of our earthly mentality can grasp. So he spoke to many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, but others fell on good ground," say good ground, "and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And in verse 9, he says, "He who has ears to hear," come on, let him hear. This morning, I say, if you got ears to hear, let you hear. Come on. I speak to my ears. When I was down here worshiping, I would say, "Let me hear, Lord. Let me hear from you. Let me have ears to hear. Let me have ears, Father, to hear." And the word, you know, begins to tell us over and over, says that we're not just hearers of the word, but we're what? We're doers of the word. We do something. We do something. Amen? So we don't just hear the word, but we apply it, okay? It's a complete package that we do. I don't want you to just hear something this morning. I want you to hear what I'm trying to say, and I want you to leave out of here, and I want you to apply it in your life and in your family and your job. Come on, in the community. I want you to take this, and I want you to apply it. Amen? I love how what God kind of does, that he'll tell us something. Like in the word, he told them, and then later on, he explains it. I love that, because he knows that sometimes I'm very challenged. Sometimes you have to tell me something, and then you have to explain what you just told me. Is anybody else like that? I don't know. There were times in math classes she would tell me, and then she would explain what she told me, and I still didn't know what she was talking about. That's that glorious non-math gene that I have that obviously did not take root, because I have tried to add a few things and have embarrassed myself. So, but I love he goes and he explains it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You explain stuff to us. Amen. That he just didn't leave us out there for interpretation of what it means. He actually tells us what he's talking about. And if you have ears to hear, you'll hear him explain what he's talking about. Today I am sowing some seeds in you, but last Sunday I sat right there. And I prepared my heart, just as I do every Sunday morning, whether it's Pastor Paul up here, last Sunday it was Pastor Greg, whether it's Pastor Angel, whether it's Wednesday night and it's Michael or it's Travis or Miss Angel or whoever is bringing the word, I prepare my heart. So last Sunday I sat right there and I received the word of God that was given by our pastor, and I took that word and I implemented it into my heart. Amen. I was a seed receiver last Sunday. Is that good? So you're sitting out here this morning and you are a seed receiver. Today, I am a seed sower. So this morning, I am depositing through the word of God and what the Holy Spirit has issued for me and told me to pour out seed. So this morning, I am a farmer and I am throwing out some seeds to you. Okay. When they began to do the communal garden out there, when the community garden, and they were working on that, they, if I'm wrong, Mr. Kinney helped me to verify my story, but they had kind of set everything up and they had threw out seeds, right? But we had a gully washer, a massive amount of water, rain that came and attacked the garden, and the seed had not taken root. So when the water, that gully washer, that water came, it took the seed and we lost the seed. The water just, it was, the elements took the seed. And so they looked at it, they reevaluated, they made some changes, they tweaked some things, and they replanted. Can I tell you that sometimes that in our lives that we've been in a place where a seed has been deposited into us, but maybe the circumstances of what we're in, of what we're dealing with, the elements, you know, the man, you know, come on, you could just, you know, pick a card out of a deck of crazy things that sometimes happens to us in our life, and that seed, we may feel like that it doesn't, is that original seed didn't produce a harvest. But if we're faithful over the fact that we know that somehow I lost that seed, I lost that word, I lost that thing that God was trying to do in me, I need to tweak some things. I need to change some things. I need to reevaluate some things so that God was trying to get me something. You know, there was something he was trying to do, but for whatever reason, that seed got destroyed. It got killed. You know, it got taken away, that there's always a second chance to turn around and put that seed back in the ground. Amen? Y'all got that? So it's not like he just issues one seed one time, and if you don't get it, then you're just lost on the bandwagon. He's constantly trying to pour out seeds to you. So whether you're sitting here this morning and all of a sudden I'm talking to you and I'm depositing some seeds into your life, you're going to leave out of here and this afternoon and tomorrow you're going to go to work or you're going to go out into your family. You're going to have supper. You're going to, you know, encounter your neighbors. You're going to encounter people at the grocery store, out and about. And it's your opportunity, amen, to now become someone that would sow a seed in that person's life, in that circumstance. And so we have to be able to receive the word. We have to be able to receive the seed, but we also have to be willing to what? Be a seed sower. You've got to. You just can't take all of your seed, put it in there for you, and not allow others to reap the harvest of what God is trying to do in your life. There's all kinds of seeds, you know, I think that we have in our lives. I think one of the things that's been so wonderful about this inner healing ministry that we have, that we've been able to connect with Firebrand Ministries, and we've had several people who have gone through inner healing over the last several months. We had one yesterday that six people got to go and walk through with Firebrand Ministry, with Tim and with Shannon Brooks. And I think one of the things that's so cool about the inner healing ministry is that it's really opened my eyes to understand that in the course of our life, that there is good seed and there is bad seed. There are things that are implanted in us by the Holy Spirit. There are things that are deposited us in the Holy Spirit, as well as those things that are the cares of the world. I like to almost call it like a dandelion thing. Does anybody have like one of those little dandelions? You know, if you've ever picked one of those little dandelions and you blew on that dandelion, you know, every little tiny thing of those is a seed. And so if you have a yard and you have an immaculate yard, you know what I mean? You're out there and you're weed eating and you're checking that. Oh, you know, pull that up. Let's cut it. Let's keep it. Let's fertilize it. Let's manicure it. Somebody in your next door neighbor could very well have an abundance of dandelion seeds. I mean, a bunch of dandelions that are in their yard. And you may not go and grab that dandelion, you know, and plant dandelion seeds into your yard. But if somebody next door is taking one of those dandelions and they're like blowing that dandelion and that little seed, it will cross over that fence. Amen. Oh, I'm off out of my spot, aren't I? It'll cross over that fence and it may land in your property. And guess what that little dandelion seed will do? It'll produce what? And a dandelion is a very aggressive type of flower that produces super aggressive seeds. So in our lives, there's all kinds of things that are deposited in us, things that we don't even know. And I've realized this from my years of teaching of small children. I can tell when a child would come into my classroom and I could tell where there had been seeds that had been deposited them that were of worthlessness. Seeds that had been told to them that they weren't smart, that they weren't capable. And then I've seen seeds in small children that I had at that time that they were young, and now they're grown, they're getting married, they're having kids. You know, I've watched the process of their life, and I've watched how either many times that they had found Jesus, you know what I mean? They had walked through stuff and they had rooted that stuff out and they become successful. They become confident, you know what I mean? They were able to remove some of those weeds out of their life to be able to allow a harvest of productivity and a harvest of success in their life began to come forth in their life. But I've also seen when they've not been able to do it, and I've watched them, those weeds, take growth into their life. And with inner healing, it's amazing how they begin to uproot some things in our life that sometimes we don't even know that have been placed there. There's all kinds of seeds that are deposited into us. When you begin to look at, there's seeds of religion. You know, for people who grow up in church or they've been exposed to a religious spirit, It's another form of a seed that has taken root in their life. And a lot of times they may not even know that they have a religious root that's growing in their life. But all of a sudden, they just are really extremely offended people. Anything that does not line up with what they believe and have been taught through their theology, through their doctrine, through what their grandmother said, what their great-grandfather, you know, stood on, they end up being very hypocritical, and they become very offended. And it's a religious seed that has taken root in their life. Have you ever seen anyone who's been ate up with a whole bunch of religion? It's a sad thing that it is just sometimes they don't even know that it has sprouted. Like if in a weed all of a sudden just begins to sprout up out in the garden, you don't even know sometimes where it came from. But all of a sudden overnight, it just seems like it's just taken over good ground or a good harvest that's trying to come forth. You know, I look at people that have been brought up in homes, that have been brought up in an environment where seeds of hate had been deposited into them. And a seed of hate has a byproduct of racism, of lawlessness, of this hatred of other people that is something that has been flourished inside because somebody has deposited inside of them a seed of hate. A seed that is completely opposite of how Father God is the things that God's wanting to deposit into our life. And there's a byproduct of it. Amen? There's a byproduct of it from this seed of hate, this seed of almost like of a self-righteousness that's in their own self that because you don't look like me, you don't act like me, you don't talk like me, you don't have the same kind of hair, you don't come from the same background, that somehow I am better than you are. That's a seed that's been deposited into their life, and there's a byproduct of it that is sprouting up out of someone. Amen? There's this seed of bitterness that can take root into someone's heart, and all of a sudden that bitterness becomes unforgiveness. And if you've ever been around someone who is a bitter person, it is because I can guarantee you they are walking around with a bunch of unforgiveness weeds that are inside their life that is choking out the very nature of who God is. You think about the Word of God says that the spirit of witchcraft is as of rebellion. The seed of witchcraft is completely linked to rebellion. To rebellion of any authority, rebellion over God. If you look at people who have authority issues in such a way that no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me how to act. No one's going to dictate to me what this looks like and how this is supposed to be. That is attached to a seed of witchcraft that is in their life. Because that authority, come on, that authority can be choked out because we know we cannot do anything unless we take ownership of the seed that God has given to us that gives us authority over anything through Christ Jesus, by His blood, by His presence. Amen? So there's always, you see what I'm saying? There's always a flip coin of something that's in our life. So you've got all this negative stuff that's in there. In fact, if we go over into the parable, he begins to explain it in Matthew. And we're going to go over into verse 18. So I want you to think about all throughout your life. From the time you've been in church, from the time you've been around people, from the time that you read the Word of God, from the time that you listen to a podcast, when you read a book, that there are seeds that are trying to be deposited into your life. This morning, we're sitting here, and the Lord told me, He said, you just pour out the seed, just pour out the seed. So this morning, I'm just pouring it out there to you. I'm just throwing it out there and hopefully giving you some things that you can begin to look into your life and say, well, why do you think that why am I struggling with this? Why am I struggling in this area? It's because there's a seed that's been deposited in your life that you need to rip out. So he begins to talk about the sower explained. In verse 18, he said, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and he snatches away what was sown in his heart. One of the scriptures, I believe it's in Mark, he says that it's like the birds of the air come and snatch the seed. That we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. I was going to show this video, and I looked at it, and I was like, it was a little too graphic, and I didn't want to, like, make people uncomfortable. No, I was, you can look it up, but As soon as I began to read about the seed, there was this image, this thing that came into my mind. I don't know if you've ever, any of you have ever watched an old movie that was an Alfred Hitchcock movie, and it was called The Birds. If you raise your hands, anybody seen this movie with the birds? Now, I watched that as a child, and let me tell you, it messed me up. It messed me up. So I go on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, it'd be great if I could find like a little clip of like Teddy Headrum. She was like the star of it. She was so pretty, a little blonde, had a little twisted up. And when the bird was like trying to get into her beehive, and I thought, oh, that'd be great. But I found the clip of when all the children were in the school. If you haven't seen the movie, let me just set it up for you. Okay, so there's all these little children that are in this little one-room classroom. And they tell them, they said, we've got to get out of here, and we're going to go outside, and we're going to go to wherever they were leaving. I don't know where they were going to, trying to get to another house. I don't know why they left the school, but whatever. And so they go out, and you see on the high lines just massive amounts of black birds, like birds, 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 birds everywhere. So the kids start running. They're like, be very quiet. Let's all just walk quietly. And as they're beginning to walk, all of a sudden, these big black crows just go crazy. And in the video clip, the birds begin to attack the children. See, I told you that wasn't appropriate, probably for these kids over here. They'd be having nightmares, and they'd be calling up, okay, Pastor Ginger, thank you very much for destroying it. But I'm just setting the image for you. You can look it up for yourself. And so they're like, and it's so fake. I mean, you know it's fake birds, but they're like jumping on the kids' heads. They're like pecking the ears, and they're just knocking them down. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. It damaged me as a child. I'm telling you, as soon as I read the word and I started looking at it, it says, oh, it's like the birds of the air would come and steal the seed. And I'm like, yes, like an Alfred Hitchcock movie, the birds, that they would just come and they would attack and just, you know, and I had nightmares for a long time over it. But that is exactly what the enemy does. He comes to kill the word, to steal the word, to attack your beautiful coiffured bun and be able to destroy where you need to go. Amen? And so the word says that if you can't understand it, it's because the word's been deposited and somehow during, you're watching it, aren't you? Shame on you. Don't you dare pull it up back there. I'll freak out. I know. And so, see, y'all just got me off track. I was believing about that. So if you don't understand it, it's because the enemy has come and he's tried to steal that word. He's tried to attack you. He's tried to take that word because in that tiny little seed is a harvest that's just waiting to birth out of you, that is ready to take root into your life. Amen? Since this COVID, I've been a bird watcher. I've got like a little bird feeder, and I've got all kinds of seed out there. And the kids gave me for Mother's Day a bird feeder. And so I just love, I'm turning to that person, love, and I'm Googling, what kind of bird was that? And I have some beautiful birds that have come, but they've been there's this little aggressive bird. And he's a little woodpecker that is in the tree. And Paul said, I'm going to take a BB and I'm going to BB gun and I'm going to get that bird. And I said, I don't think you can get the bird because I think they're protected bird. It's a protected bird. But he has gone to the bedroom window, and he in the early in the morning, he does this. And so he pecks on that window. And Paul's like, he is just not, he's going down. He said, I'm going to get him. And so then I would watch him, and he is an aggressive bird. So any other birds that try to come and get the seed, he runs them off because he's not a nice bird. He's a seed stealer. Have you ever had anyone in your life that is a seed stealer? Come on. You wake up that morning, and you are so joyful. Man, it's been something good. God gave you a good word. God got you up that morning. Man, things were going so good. And here comes along Susie Bird Stealer. I mean, seed stealer. It's not a bird stealer. It's a seed stealer. And they just come, and their negativity just says something to you. And before you know it, somehow your joy is gone. Your peace has been stolen. I want to be like those people running and like, shoo, get away from me. Get away from me. You know, take authority over it. Get it out. You're not taking my seed. You're not stealing what the Lord deposited in me. Amen. You're not going to take what the Lord has given to me in an encounter, in a moment, in prayer, in worship. You are not allowed. You do not have a right to come and steal anything that the Lord has deposited into my life. Amen? All right, so that little bird could come and he could snatch it away. And it says that in verse 20, it says, but he who received the word on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Amen. Immediately gets it with joy, but it has no root and it can only endure for a while because it's exposed. You haven't allowed it to take root into your heart, so it's exposed. So those little seed stealers, those little birds that love to come, the enemy that loves to come and steal it, it doesn't have no root in it. It's on the surface. You haven't allowed it to be deposited in you so that it has deep roots, so that it can't, that no one can have access to it. Amen. You might have joy for a minute, but as soon as a circumstance comes or soon as something just happens, then all of a sudden, you know, oh, yes, let me tell you what, God's so faithful, oh, man, he's so good. Yes, he is able to do anything. Yes, Jesus is so good. And then all of a sudden that week, something happens, bam, all of a sudden that faith is tested. And then you're just like, I tell you what, I just, you know, maybe he will. Well, I believe you just said that he would. You just said by faith that you're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by how you feel. You're moved by what the Word of God says. And this is how it's supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, you've become this double-minded person that all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm not really sure. I thought it would happen at least by Wednesday. You know, it's because your seed is on the surface. Amen? It's on the surface. You've got to get it down deep into your spirit. Amen? It has no root. And so it can only endure for a while, because when tribulation and persecution arrives, immediately he stumbles. And in verse 22, it says, now he received seed among the thorns are those that hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. In other words, all those seeds of bitterness, those seeds of hate, those seeds of unforgiveness, those seeds of rebellion, it will come and it will choke out that good word if you don't continuously work to remove anything that is contrary to what the Word of God says about you or what it says about your circumstance. Amen? But he who receives seed on good ground, say good ground, is he who hears the word and he understands it. And he indeed bears fruit, and he produces 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, Paul has used this over and over about how we believe that when we tithe, when we give offerings, we deposit a seed. If we're going to tithe into, or we're going to give an offering into Firebrand Ministries or into any other ministries that we support, Philip Baker Ministries, you know, any of the ministries we support, we don't look at that as, okay, we're going to give $50, $150, $1,000, and we're going to deposit that into Philip Baker Ministries because we love Philip, and that's not how we look at it. We look at that as a seed. We look at that as a seed that we deposit into the ground, into their ministry. We back off from that seed because we trust them that they are producing a harvest, that they are tending that seed. That's why he said, you put your seed in good ground. You put your seed in good ground. You put your seed in that place where that person has tilled up those things in their life. They're working on it. And if the enemy comes and he snatches it, or if the cares of the world comes and snatches it, if it's good ground, I'll continue to put seed in, and I'll continue to put seed in, and I'll continue to put seed in it. God will continue over and over and over again to deposit. But if you don't want to go around that same mountain, constantly having to fight issues and circumstances and personality flaws and all these things, then you have to get to that place where you understand that there are things in your life that have to be uprooted and they have to go, and you have to nurture the seed of God that's in your life so that it will produce 100-fold in your life, that it will produce some 60 or some 30 that's in your life. Amen? I saw this movie a couple of weeks ago. I know I like movies. I'm a movie person. Greg and I like movies. Absolutely, The Birds. So I sat down and I'd been wanting to watch this movie, and I'd kind of heard like different reviews on it, but it was A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Has anybody seen that? It's the story of a journalist who interviewed Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. Did anybody watch Mr. Rogers growing up? It's A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Could you be mine? Would you be mine? So I was really excited about watching the movie. And as I'm watching the movie, I'm not kidding you, through the entire movie, I continuously cried through that movie. I had a lump in my throat. There were several times I just had to stop it because I couldn't even enjoy the movie because I was just wanted to like blow her. But it was something that the Holy Spirit was showing me. It wasn't just a movie that I was just like, oh, that's so sad, he's dying. It wasn't anything. I mean, it was a positive movie. It's an upbeat movie. But after I watched the movie, I started doing some research because I was like, why am I just so emotional in this movie? Why is this just touching my heart so much? And how they began to show that a journalist, it's based off of the real life journalist whose name was Tom Jundo. He was an investigative reporter and they commissioned him to write a article in Esquire magazine about Mr. Rogers. And he had a reputation for investigative journalism that he would dig stuff up. You know what I mean? Exposés. So he would go and he would interview people and it would just be this, he would find dirt. And a lot of people didn't even want to have an interview with him anymore because of his reputation of finding, you know, you say you're going to go in and do a great piece and then they go and they dig underneath and they get all the stuff in the graveyard out of your life and expose it. And so I looked at the real life to see how much, you know, because a movie and sometimes real life, you know, based on a true story, what was real wasn't, but it was pretty accurate of everything that happened in the movie. But he made this quote that was in this article that he wrote, and the article said that he ended up writing the article. If you haven't seen the movie, he met Mr. Rogers kind of with this in a bad place in his life. And as he began to meet this man changed his life, brought back his hope in humanity, brought back in his belief that there were good people out there. And he ended up writing the article in Esquire magazine saying, can you say hero? And they developed a friendship that lasted until Fred Rogers passed away. But he wrote this article. He made this statement. He said, Fred Rogers has been doing the same small thing for a very long time. And man, that just rang inside of me. See, I start talking about it, and I just think about like, oh God, I'm an emotional person. Fred Rogers has been doing the same small thing for a very long time. And Fred Rogers' life, for those of you that don't know a lot about Mr. Rogers, he was an ordained minister. He was a born-again believer. He had a career in the war. I mean, that was very contrary to what he ended up doing after the war. But he had a simple TV show that was called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and he talked to children. And he tackled issues that of that time, most people steered clear from discussing it with children. He talked a lot about the war. He brought up the subject of divorce for children, and he used puppets. You know, I'm a sucker for a puppet. He used a puppet to talk to children. He talked to them about racism. He talked to them about injustice. He talked to them about being kind and gracious human beings. And so as a small thing that he'd been doing a long time, and the Lord showed me, he said there was a seed that was deposited into his life. And when you allow a seed of the word, the seed, and you nurture that word, and you care for that seed, and you give it plenty of room to grow, and you take out the weeds that try to choke it out. Do you know? You water it with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. You begin to live a life called harvest. You live a life that can influence a generation, because Mr. Roger, he influenced a generation of kids and talked about things and battled those things, but he did it in such a way that there was respect and there was kindness and there was goodness and there was grace and there was redemption that he even offered to this reporter. All of the people around Mr. Rogers didn't even want him to take this interview because they didn't know how kind this man would be in the interview. But the harvest of his life was displayed to this reporter. And this reporter says over and over that he changed my life. And as I was sitting there and I was getting so emotional and I was like, Father God, that's what I want. I want my life. I want the people that you have connected us with that are our family. And you are our family. I want our lives to be so full of a harvest. Amen? That whoever God brings in front of you, you've been doing it for so long. You've been doing a small thing for a very long time. That it comes out of you. Do you know, it's something that's not labored. It's not sporadic. It's not occasionally. It's not just on Sunday. It's not just on every other Thursday. It is something that you live. Amen. It's something that is evident out of your life. It's something that is being produced in your life to those that need it. And if we are in these days, if we are living in these days of revelation, if we are living in this land, in this place, the body of Christ has to rise up. And we got to take a hard look at who we are and what is the fruit of our life. What do we have that is available in the harvest? I want the hundredfold in my life. I want it for you. I want us to be a body of believers that the least thing that we do every week is when we're here. That this is the smallest part of your week because you're sitting across from people. I had many conversations this week where I sat down one-on-one with people and I let them speak to me and then I spoke to them and began to embrace the harvest of every single one of your life, because there were things that I need that's in your life. And there's things that I have in my life that you have need of. There are people that you're going to see this week and they need what you have. Amen. Let me breathe. Stand to your feet. You're good ground. Amen. You're good ground. So what we're going to do right now is we're gonna take the hoe. You like that? You're going to take it. You're going to take the tiller. You're going to take that thing. And right now we're going to ask that the Holy Spirit begin to pull some stuff out of us. Can we do that? Amen. Can we pull some things out of us this morning so that the word, it is going to take root in Jesus' name. The words that were spoken this morning, the powerful word of God, the word of God that changes our life, the word of God that is powerful, the word of God that is a small thing, the word of faith is a small thing. It says it's like the size of a mustard seed. But if we've been doing it a long time, then there is a harvest that's coming forth. And we've got a group of people in this community, in this state, in this world that needs the harvest of our lives. So right now, can you put some music on and kind of just dim it a little bit for just a couple of minutes, and then we're going to dismiss. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you as a body of believers, as a family, Lord. And right now, Father, we open up our lives to you. Father, expose the weeds in our life. Father, if there is anything that's in us, Father, anything in me, anything, Father, that is in us that is contrary to what the Word of God is, Father, we ask right now you remove it. Let the Holy Spirit begin, Father, to do an excavating, Father, of anything that is contrary to who you called us to be, what you have destined us to be. And so, Father, thank you right now, Lord, that by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father, that you're removing those things. Father, that we lift up our hands as willing vessels, Father, so that you see us, that you know us, that you hear us, that you take notice, Father, that this is what we want. And, Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that as you're removing those things, you're making room, Father, for the Holy Spirit. You're making room for the Holy Spirit in our lives to take that seed and to begin to nurture it and to pour out your presence upon it, Lord. And, Father, we declare right now that there's a harvest coming in our lives. Come on, say it with me. There's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming in my life, Father. There's a harvest coming in your sons and daughters. There's a harvest coming because you are bringing those, Father, that need to eat of the fruit of our life. You are bringing, Father, people into our life that need to see the true heroes, Father, to see the authentic, to see, Father, those that love, Father, that do, that give, that serve, that honor. And so, Father, we just lift up. We lift up, Father, our lives to you. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own, Father. They can't do it on their own. Father, we need you right now, Lord, to power us up, Father, to that next level, to be the hands and the feet and the voice and the ears of our Father. Father, something small, Lord, that for a very long time, that we will do it again and we'll do it again and we'll do it again. And even if someone doesn't receive it, it doesn't mean that we won't try it again the next day. Father, that we will be, Father, sowers. We, the sower sows the word. And we are sowers this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You are dismissed. We have